This is the reading for August 6th. Proverbs 26. It shouldn't snow in summer or rain at harvest. Neither should a foolish person ever be honored. Curses will not harm someone who is innocent. They are like sparrows or swallows that fly around and never land. Whips are for horses and harnesses are for donkeys. So paddles are good for fools. Don't give fools a foolish answer, or you will be just like them. But answer fools as they should be answered, or they will think they are really wise. Sending a message by a foolish person is like cutting off your feet or drinking poison. A wise saying spoken by a fool is as useless as the legs of a crippled person. Giving honor to a foolish person is like trying a stone in a slingshot. A wise saying spoken by a fool is like a thorn stuck in the hand of a drunk. Hiring a foolish person or anyone just passing by is like an archer shooting at just anything. A fool who repeats his foolishness is like a dog that goes back to what it has thrown up. There is more hope for a foolish person than for those who think they are wise. The lazy person says, "There's a lion in the road, there's a lion in the streets." Like a door turning back and forth on its hinges, the lazy person turns over and over in bed. Lazy people may put their hands in the dish, but they are too tired to lift the food to their mouths. The lazy person thinks he is wiser than seven people who give sensible answers. Interfering in someone else's quarrel as you pass by is like grabbing a dog by the ears. Like a madman shooting deadly burning arrows is the one who tricks a neighbor and then says, "I was just joking." Without wood, a fire will go out, and without gossip, quarreling will stop. Just as charcoal and wood keep a fire going, a quarrelsome person keeps an argument going. The words of a gossip are like tasty bits of food. People like to gobble them up. Kind words from a wicked mind are like a shiny coating on a clay pot. Those who hate you may try to fool you with their words, but in their minds they are planning evil. People's words may be kind, but don't believe them because their minds are full of evil thoughts. Lies can hide hate, but the evil will be plain to everyone. Whoever digs a pit for others will fall into it. Whoever tries to roll a boulder down on others will be crushed by it. Liars hate the people they hurt, and false praise can ruin others. Esther chapter 7. So the king and Haman went in to eat with Queen Esther. As they were drinking wine on the second day, the king asked Esther again, "What are you asking for? I will give it to you. What is it you want? I will give you as much as half of my kingdom." Then Queen Esther answered, "My king, if you are pleased with me, and if it pleases you, let me live. This is what I ask, and let my people live too. This is what I want. My people and I have been sold to be destroyed, to be killed and completely wiped out. If we had been sold as male and female slaves, I would have kept quiet because that would not be enough of a problem to bother the king." Then King Xerxes asked Queen Esther, "Who is he and where is he who has done such a thing?" Esther said, "Our enemy and foe is this wicked Haman." Then Haman was filled with terror before the king and queen. The king was very angry, so he got up, left his wine, and went out into the palace garden. But Haman stayed inside to beg Queen Esther to save his life. He could see that the king had already decided to kill him. When the king returned from the palace garden to the banquet hall, he saw Haman falling on the couch where Esther was lying. The king said, "Will he even attack the queen while I am in the house?" As soon as the king said that, servants came in and covered Haman's face. Harbona, one of the eunuchs there serving the king, said, "Look, a 75-foot platform stands near Haman's house. This is the one Haman had prepared for Mordecai, who gave the warning that saved the king." The king said, "Hang Haman on it." So they hanged Haman on the platform he had prepared for Mordecai. Then the king was not so angry anymore. Esther chapter 8. That same day, King Xerxes gave Queen Esther everything Haman, the enemy of the Jewish people, had left when he died. And Mordecai came in to see the king because Esther had told the king how he was related to her. Then the king took off his signet ring that he had taken back from Haman, and he gave it to Mordecai. Esther put Mordecai in charge of everything Haman left when he died. Once again, Esther spoke to the king. She fell at the king's feet and cried and begged him to stop the evil plan that Haman the Agagite had planned against the Jews. The king held out the gold scepter to Esther, so Esther got up and stood in front of him. She said, "My king, if you are pleased with me, and if it pleases you to do this, if you think it is the right thing to do, and if you are happy with me, let an order be written to cancel the letters Haman wrote. Haman the Agagite sent messages to destroy all the Jewish people and all of your kingdom. I could not stand to see that terrible thing happen to my people. I could not stand to see my family killed." King Xerxes answered Queen Esther and Mordecai the Jew, "Because Haman was against the Jewish people, I have given his things to Esther, and my soldiers have hanged him. Now, in the king's name, write another order to the Jewish people as it seems best to you. Then seal the order with the king's signet ring, because no letter written in the king's name and sealed with his signet ring can be canceled." At that time, the king's secretaries were called. This was the 23rd day of the third month, which is Sivan. The secretaries wrote out all of Mordecai's orders to the Jews, to the governors, to the captains of the soldiers in each state, and to the important men of the 127 states that reached from India to Cush. They wrote in the writing of each state and in the language of each people. They also wrote to the Jewish people in their own writing and language. Mordecai wrote orders in the name of King Xerxes and sealed the letters with the king's signet ring. Then he sent the king's orders by messengers on fast horses, horses that were raised just for the king. These were the king's orders. The Jewish people in every city have the right to gather together to protect themselves. They may destroy, kill, and completely wipe out the army of any state or people who attack them. And they are to do the same to the women and children of that army. They may also take by force the property of their enemies. The one day set for the Jewish people to do this in all the empire of King Xerxes was the 13th day of the 12th month, the month of Adar. A copy of the king's order was to be sent out as a law in every state. It was to be made known to the people of every nation living in the kingdom, so the Jewish people would be ready on that set day to strike back at their enemies. The messengers hurried out, riding on the royal horses, because the king commanded those messengers to hurry, and the order was also given in the palace at Susa. Mordecai left the king's presence wearing royal clothes of blue and white and a large gold crown. He also had a purple robe made of the best linen. And the people of Susa shouted for joy. It was a time of happiness, joy, gladness, and honor for the Jewish people. As the king's order went to every state and city, there was joy and gladness among the Jewish people. In every state and city to which the king's order went, they were having feasts and celebrating. And many people through all the empire became Jews because they were afraid of the Jewish people.
The book of 1 Corinthians.
My name is Paul. I am writing this letter to Corinth in answer to their questions, emphasizing the unity of the church and correcting the moral evils in it. I want to encourage their faith in Christ, to instruct them about the cross and the resurrection, and to teach them about those Christians who have died. All problems in the church, personal and social, can be solved in accordance with Christianity's moral principles.
Chapter 1.
From Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and from Sothenes, our brother in the Christian faith, to God's church that was made holy by Christ Jesus and called to be God's holy people in the city of Corinth, and to people everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Goodwill and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ are yours. I always thank God for you because Christ Jesus has shown you God's goodwill. Through Christ Jesus, you've become rich in every way, in speech and knowledge of every kind. Our message about Christ has been verified among you.
Therefore, you don't lack any gift as you wait eagerly for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed.
He will continue to give you strength until the end so that no one can accuse you of anything in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God faithfully keeps his promises. He called you to be partners with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Brothers and sisters, I encourage all of you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to agree with each other and not to split into opposing groups. I want you to be united in your understanding and opinions. Brothers and sisters, some people from Chloe's family have made it clear to me that you are quarreling among yourselves. This is what I mean. Each of you is saying, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in Paul's name? I thank God that I didn't baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say you were baptized in my name. I also baptized Stephanas and his family. Beyond that, I'm not sure whether I baptized anyone else.
Christ didn't send me to baptize. Instead, he sent me to spread the good news. I didn't use intellectual arguments. That would have made the cross of Christ lose its meaning.
The message about the cross is nonsense to those who are being destroyed, but it is God's power to us who are being saved. Scripture says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will reject the intelligence of intelligent people. Where is the wise person? Where is the scholar? Where is the persuasive speaker of our time? Hasn't God turned the wisdom of the world into nonsense? The world with its wisdom was unable to recognize God in terms of his own wisdom. So God decided to use the nonsense of the good news we speak to save those who believe. Jews ask for miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But our message is that Christ was crucified. This offends Jewish people and makes no sense to people who are not Jewish. But to those Jews and Greeks who are called, he is Christ, God's power and God's wisdom. God's nonsense is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Brothers and sisters, consider what you were when God called you to be Christians. Not many of you were wise from a human point of view. You were not in powerful positions or in the upper social classes. But God chose what the world considers nonsense to put wise people to shame. God chose what the world considers weak to put what is strong to shame. God chose what the world considers ordinary and what it despises, what it considers to be nothing, in order to destroy what it considers to be something. As a result, no one can brag in God's presence. You are partners with Christ Jesus because of God. Jesus has become our wisdom sent from God, our righteousness, our holiness, and our ransom from sin. As Scripture says, whoever brags must brag about what the Lord has done.